Man, I know this dude was demonically possessed, but he had broken into his ex, his estranged wife's house, and he held everybody hostage in there and stuff. I didn't even know that. So I get a call about 1 in the morning. So about 1 or 2 in the morning, and it was just a 415 disturbance call. I just said disturbance. So I call over there and like, hey, what's going on here? Is everything okay? And then the person who was in the reporting party was like, hey, my daughter was over there. She just texted me. She said, I don't know what's going on. She just said, send the police for help. So I'm like thinking, okay, this is probably just a little argument or something. So end up showing up over there at the house, going to her, check it out. Remember, I get to the door and the grandmother answers the door. And she was like, hey, I'm glad you're here. Praise God you are here. And I was like, okay, what's going on here? And then she's like, no, this guy's upstairs. He broke in. He's holding us all hostage. And you need to get up there. And then we've got my daughter.
Well, hello. Hey, Thin Line Believers is here with a guest this week because Mike and I run out of material and we get boring. So, want to introduce Sherman.
Well, you're boring.
Shut up. Want to introduce Sherman Garnett. Sherman, I don't really know you very well. So, like I said, you know, before we got going here, I'm going to sit back and listen to you and Mike. Just kind of, I don't know if it's going to be a conversation or a fight or what's going to go on, but I'm looking forward to it. So yeah, either Mike, you can introduce him, or Sherman, if you want to introduce yourself, have at it, man. I'm in the background now.
Well, let me pray.
Yes,
let me pray, and then I'll have Sherman introduce himself, give his own background. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be able to do this podcast, and Lord, whoever will be listening to this, Lord, those that wear the uniform, whether they're military, police, or fire, we pray that, Lord, you would grab a hold of our hearts, Lord, and they might be able to glean something from, Lord, our experiences, our things that we've gone through as men, and things that, Lord, we've gone through in uniform, and so, Father, we pray for a direction and a guidance of your Holy Spirit, Lord, and ask for your blessings upon Thin Line Believers, Lord. So we just surrender ourselves to you now in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
All right, so I've known Sherman since when I was a young pastor, assistant pastor. I'll leave the church unnamed. But Sherman's a stand-up guy. I've known him for many years. You know, he's went into the line of law enforcement. So, Sherman, why don't you just give us a little bio and tell us your background, how long you've been married, you know, your social security number, your credit card number, and all that good stuff.
Yeah. Retired now as a sheriff for 16 years. I mean, the Lord actually led me into law enforcement. I was praying about it at the age of 23. I was actually working for Brinks at one point. I don't know if you guys know Brinks, Armored Transport. Did that for a number of years. And then, you know, I got let go because of, you know, downsizing and some stuff that went on. And just praying about what the Lord would want me to do. And then started doing some personal training at a gym. And then I was like, man, this ain't for me. There ain't no money in this. So, and just asking the Lord what direction he wanted me to go. And I remember the Lord speaking to me about joining law enforcement. So I applied, and I actually didn't think I was going to get in because of my background as a juvenile. Most people don't know this about me. I had a troubled background as a kid, arrested several times, ended up in juvenile hall at the age of 17. But that's where I actually came to faith in Christ. The Lord revealed himself to me in that point. I was on probation until about 18 and a half. This is all before I knew the Lord, because I was very violent, very angry, very mad at the world, man. Just hated my father and everything. But the Lord actually, you know, changed my life completely. I give all glory to Jesus. So when I did apply for law enforcement, I just said, Lord, if this is you, then you get me in. I'm not going to do anything else. So later I was actually able to get my records expunged and erased just because of my good conduct, and I wrote to the judge and everything. So, and plus it was all juvenile stuff. So I did end up applying to several different departments. A lot of departments turned me down because of my background, but I remember the sheriff's department actually giving me a job, and I actually told him, hey, this is what happened to me as a juvenile, and they were like, hey, chalk it up as life experience. You're not doing that now. I was like, no, I don't do any of that, you know. And I said, other PDs turned me down because I've been in fights as a youth, and they were like, well, hey, what do you think is going to happen when you join law enforcement? He's like, I want a guy like you that has been through experience, who has life experience. I'm not looking for no college application or just someone who's book smart. He's like, I need somebody that has real life experience that can actually relate to people. And if you do get into a fight, you can handle yourself. So you're the perfect candidate, and that's who I want. So he pushed my background along, and this was Orange County Sheriff's, and he actually gave me a job. So I was like, man, praise God. So actually, and then too as well, before that, I actually had joined San Bernardino County Sheriff's. It was pre-service. I was pre-service, and then went through the six-month academy and graduated in 2004. Not a lot of departments were hiring at the time. It was a really big hiring struggle, man. Nobody was hiring. But as I went and worked for San Manuel Tribal Casino as one of those tribal officers for about a couple months. And then that's when the Lord opened the door for Orange County Sheriff. So I was able to get in there. So that's my background for that. I worked at Lateral out of Orange County Sheriff's in, it was about 2008, you know, Lateral to San Bernardino. And then from there, I started working the jails. I was working the jails at Orange County Sheriff's, and then I was working the jails just for a short period of time at San Bernardino County. And then from there, I went to the streets, worked at Victorville City, San Bernardino City, Highland, a lot of high crime areas, man. That was just me, a go-getter, hard charger, field training officer, defense tactics instructor, firearm instructor. I did all that. Also, too, a use of force expert as well. And then drug recognition expert. I worked narcotics. I worked gangs. I worked a lot of specialized details. So did a lot of things. Even worked school resource officer at one point.
So, yeah.
Exciting career, man. Exciting career. But it was time for me to move on when some things happened and I got hurt. So other than that, that's my background right now.
Yeah. And we don't need to get into your medical retirement because I know it's sensitive information, so no need to get it. I do have a question, Sherman, in your life experience as a Leo. You mentioned how it's crazy now. Law enforcement jobs today, there's so many.
Yeah.
They can't get guys. You applied at a time when there wasn't, you know, a lot of applications being taken in. Now that you've gotten so many number of years under your belt, where do you see the direction of law enforcement going? And is there any tips that you would recommend to, you know, young applicants that are wanting to become cops, you know, or firefighters?
Yeah. Well, I see the direction of law enforcement going. It's more becoming more of a business type. I'll be honest with you, it's more political than now than ever. It feels like the troops aren't backed by the staff or the higher-ups or the brass, as they call it. And that's the sad thing right there. I feel like it's lost its way. I don't know, myself, when I entered law enforcement, I used to think it was all about locking up the bad guys and taking care of business in that aspect and then just doing the right thing and you know, serving God. And then you work in that profession for so long, and then you see a lot of things that are not of God, and you start to see the politics, and you start to see the people stepping on each other that are, you know, trying to move up the ladder. So, to me, if you're going to join that profession, it has to be a calling of God. Just like Romans 13 says, man, you know, they're ministers of God, those who are in that profession. And they don't bear the sword in vain, but I always believe it's a calling. Otherwise, man, there's a lot of dark things that you will see, a lot of manifestation of evil out there that you're going to see. So you have to be prepared for all that, and your mind has to be prepared for all that, because, I mean, your mind can only take so much, so many calls, so many dead bodies, so many shootings, so many fights before you have a breaking point where you have to, you know, hey, take a time out and get some help. And that's for everybody, and I'll just leave it out there. That's for every cop that's out there, depending on what area you're in and what type of job you're doing. I mean, you see so much that the average public doesn't see. So for new officers coming in, they need to be ready for that aspect, and then also ready for the aspect of, like I said, politicalness. It's a sad state that the law enforcement's become. I mean, I love the officers, I love the people. There's a lot of good officers, but there's a lot of people when they move up into higher positions, they start to forget where they came from. So, and how, who they were and where they moved up in, and they become more of a politician type. So,
yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, there's a lot of people that, you know, I was just having this conversation with a buddy of mine who works for a different agency, but he was talking about liability driven policing, right? And yeah. I mean, that's a major, major thing that we deal with now is, everything is looked through the lens of liability, right? How much is it going to cost us if this happens? And what's the, and I can totally understand, some risk assessment, right? Risk versus reward. Okay. Chasing the bad guy through town in a pursuit versus getting a license plate and catching him later. I can see some of that, but at the same time, like you said, so much of this has become political, especially in the last 2 years. And it started before that, granted, but in the last 2 years, you know, the whole knee on the neck thing, you know, that really kicked off all of this. And I think the knee-jerk reaction was, we'll get rid of police instead of, hey, let's bring some health and wellness to the police so that these decisions are made with a clearer mind. I mean, that's my opinion, but I think it's right. So,
yeah,
you know, but I don't know that that's necessarily made it down to California yet. I'm trying to say it nicely.
Yeah. Well, speaking of California, you're in Oregon, you know, and I'm in Arizona. I'll be honest with you. Now that I'm back in full-time ministry, I'm not in fire, I'm not in police, but I still have a heart for both, you know, the badge. And I could see a world of a difference out here in Arizona, you know. At least the town that I live in, they all have take-home cars. And, you know, having lived in Southern California, it's kind of a good thing you don't have a take-home car, because then, you know, stupid idiots, thugs, want to follow you and all that stuff. Here, it's such a different world. Like, I have so many neighbors. Like, their police vehicles right on the parking lot. It's not tagged. It's, you know, in LA, it's just like, sweet, let's tag a vehicle kind of type of thing. Here, it's like, there's such, it's kind of still old school, like the Wild West, in the sense that they still have the respect of, you know, law enforcement. But one thing I have noticed in my smaller town that we live in is that the guys that come from bigger agency that are like go-getters and wanting to fight crime, right? And they've lost touch with customer service and what it's to be a human, you know? And I have a buddy in church, you know, he's from the Maryland side, and we're talking, and he's just like, hey, did you notice that guy, you know, this week during the shooting? And I was like, how they were acting. I was like, yeah, there are some things, policies, SOPs, SOGs that I would have done a little differently, you know, but you could tell who are the rough-edged cops, right? And then you could tell the newbies. And what I'm afraid of is, with all that, like Sherman, you mentioned, you know, bringing up politics, is losing all the good seasoned officers.
Yeah.
You know, stuff that's not in the SOP, stuff not in, you know, training manual, but it's just taught by, you know, doing ride-alongs and seeing your senior officer, man, that's wisdom right there. How he did, you know. And that's where I'm afraid of the future of policing. You know, because obviously the people that are in the left, let's defund the police, they're dumb idiots, you know. But at the same time, they are making such a huge voice in public policy and decision making, where we're losing a lot of good cops every single week. They're retiring in the masses, right? Yeah. Here in Arizona, just this past December, I think it was estimated between 400 and 500 officers retired or resigned or left for other agencies. And, you know, the future of policing is, I think, going to change, you know, because those of us that's been in the badge, we become, you know, citizens, and we see officers doing stuff and you're just like, oh no, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you're driving by in traffic and there's traffic on the interstate and there's a, you know, traffic stop, and you're just, you automatically think, okay, your car should be positioned here and, you know, approach and all that stuff. You're just like, what are they doing? And now that everybody has body cams, and there's that, you know, the scrutiny of it all. And my thing is, as believers in Jesus Christ, and Sherman, you said, you know, like pastoral ministry, I think being a police officer, than being a hose dragger, it's definitely has to be a calling.
Yeah.
You know, but in that calling, like, how did you survive being a deputy at San Bernardino? Now, I know, having lived in Southern California, you know, having been a chaplain for Chino Police and working for the fire department, you hear about other agencies' culture, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, the three major or the four major agencies in, you know, Southern California, you got LA County, Orange County, San Bernardino County, and San Diego County. And, you know, obviously each county wants their pecking order as far as, like, we're the better agency or this or that, right? How can we, as those that's been in the uniform, like currently Adam is in uniform, but we love Jesus Christ, we love the Word of God, how did you survive your culture at San Bernardino? Because every agency has a culture.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, there's the good old boys club, and then there's your typical followers, we're just doing what we're told, kind of type of thing. Did you face anything like that in your agency?
Yeah, for me, I faced a lot of that, especially being a believer. And I'll be honest, it's hard to be a Christian believer, a right-on believer, and walk in the line of law enforcement. I know a lot of law enforcement officers or a lot of people say that, you know, blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called sons of God, but that automatically makes them a believer in Christ, but that's just not true. Only those who belong to Christ Jesus are his, as the Word of God says in Romans 8. And it doesn't matter if you're a police officer or not. If you don't have a relationship with Christ and you don't know him and you're not walking with him, then you're not a believer in Christ. I'll just be honest with you, man. And I know a lot of people take that out of context, that Matthew chapter 5 scripture about the peacemakers. And but like I said, because I've known a lot of cops, man, a lot of cops, some of them a lot of partiers. I know with the culture in law enforcement, there's a large rate of adultery, and there's a large rate of alcoholism. So right there, man, that's really tough. I haven't drank alcohol since the age of 18, so that was a real struggle. I didn't struggle with drinking alcohol, but I know a lot of them wanted me to invite me out to go and drink with them, but I just wasn't willing to go that route and compromise. I still remember a sergeant bringing me into his office at one point, and he was like, hey, man, we like you. They want to promote you, but you got to open up with us, man. You got to come out with us some more. And I remember him shutting the door and telling me all that, and I was like, I'm looking at this guy, and I know his life, and this guy is getting ready to get promoted to lieutenant, and he's telling me that they want to promote me, but I need to open up with them. I need to come out there with them. Basically saying I need to drink with them at the bar. And I'm like, hey, man, I'm not willing to risk my family for that because it's not worth it. I knew this guy because he was divorced. He was living in an apartment and hardly ever saw his kids. And I'm like, that ain't the life for me. And I know the Lord is not going to honor that. So for me, that was a tough struggle. And even too, man, I'll be honest, when I became a believer in Christ, I didn't curse anymore. It's like the Lord took all that cursing away from me, which was amazing because, man, I used to have a real foul mouth before coming to Christ. So I never cursed at anybody out there. And people used to trip out about that. Other officers are like, man, this dude doesn't curse at anybody. But I'm like, hey, man, I'm a man of God. I don't need to use curse words in order to get my point across. You know, I'll just use my fist. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking, man. No, but no, if I
had to. Psalm 144, teach my hands to war.
Yeah. But no, it was the Lord who really took all that away from me. So I never really cursed. I remember people used to trip out about that. But one thing I survived in it is that every day before shift, man, I would pray. I was driving to work. I would pray and I would speak to the Lord. I said, Lord, please help me to make good decisions, split second decisions, nothing that's going to get me IA fired or in trouble. And I used to pray that all the time. I said, Lord, help me to do my best. And whoever you want me to, you know, speak to today for your glory, let me do so. And also, too, if I need to take down some evil in the flesh, then let me do so as well. But help me to make those decisions. And I wanted to, you know, because you got to make split-second decisions out there. And you never know what you're going to come across. So even if I told the Lord, too, if I even get into a shooting, I said, Lord, please direct my bullets to take out the bad guy. Or if I have to fight that day or have to take anybody down, just make me like Samson, where I just destroy him like a rag doll. I remember I used to pray that, and I would say, Lord, I just want to make good decisions for you. So that's one reason I believe I survived. And I also used to pray, too. I'll be honest, I used to pray this all the time. Lord, if you ever need to take me out of this law enforcement, go ahead and do so, because I don't want it to cost my walk with you or my family. So I always would give that up to the Lord. And that's one of the things I think he honored and protected, so. But like I said, it was a real hard struggle, man, a real hard culture struggle, especially with the adultery. Man, you know, a lot of women throw themselves at guys with the badge out there. And then the drinking, the alcohol, man, that was a huge one. And I never did that. So I always felt like kind of like an outsider on that, because I was like wanting to serve the Lord and do that. And I still remember a buddy of mine. I trained him, too, as a field training officer. He even told me, he's like, man, there's a lot of people that call themselves Christian out here, but man, you're completely different. You were one that lived real. I remember he told me that like maybe about several months ago. He's like, you were one that was real. That's why you were different. And I respected you for that. And I was like, well, praise God, man. That was all the Lord. So to have that empowerment of the Holy Spirit to actually go out there and do a job and live for Christ, especially in that culture, man, when you're seeing so much evil that could weigh in and drown you down, man, it's very difficult. So very hard. But I'll be honest, too, one of the scriptures, man, I'll just share this with you guys, and this is when I used to do first responders ministry as well. It was 2 Samuel 23, verse 2. This was King David talking to his son Solomon about the kingdom, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was on my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spoke to me, he who rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be like the light of the morning when the sun rises, a morning without clouds, like the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. And that scripture really spoke to me, because I was like, you know what? He who does rule over man must be just, because we're given that badge and we have the ability to take away a person's freedom. You put a person in jail, man, and you can treat them like trash if you don't have the Lord, or you can treat them like a human being but still take away that freedom. So to me, it's like ruling over men, when you're given that much authority to take away a person's freedom, you have to use it in a godly manner. You have to use it in a wise manner. And you don't want to become corrupted. It's very easy to become corrupted out there, especially with gaining power. You know, people say power corrupts, absolute power corrupts. And I've seen people use the badge and become corrupted in power. And because obviously they don't know Christ, it's very easily for the enemy to tempt them into areas that they shouldn't be, especially not walking with the Lord. So That scripture was always dear to me, man. He who rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. So I always used to ask the Lord, help me to rule in the fear of God, especially as you put me over men. Even if I'm not in a high position, like, you know, sergeant, lieutenant, but you still have authority over the public. So that's how I survived, I'll be honest with you, man. And staying close to the Lord, because it's very easy for the darkness to pull you in and take you down from everything you see. So I could tell you some more stories, but I don't want to keep talking.
No, that's why we brought you here. I mean, are you?
we got time.
Yeah. Okay.
You threw a lot there. I mean, I love that scripture, and you know, I totally didn't think about that, because I'll be honest with you. When I've done chaplaincy, and you know, I hear other pastors at memorials, you know, quoting "Blessed are the peacemakers," I was like, I don't want to be that cop causing peace. I want to tear down some walls, you know. So I have to, you know, fire. I mean, I'll pull my trigger on the, you know, my gun. But at the same time, would you say your walk was more important on a daily basis in uniform, whether it be, you know, devotionals or, you know, your first responder ministry accountability, and, you know, just that brotherhood within the body of Christ, you know, because, you know, like you said, women throw themselves at you behind the badge.
Yeah.
Right? Because you could be the fattest cop, and somehow he gets whatever he wants, you know, yeah. That type of thing. Where I want to say, you know, and Adam and I have talked about this, you know, off camera and just on the phone, is how can we differentiate ourselves as thin line believers from those that call themselves Christians? You know, like you, at multiple incidents, I never cussed. And the officers that say they were Christians, you know, they were no different, you know. Dropping the F-bomb here, and I had an officer who then became a sergeant who should have never became a sergeant.
Yeah.
But he called himself a Christian, and it drove me nuts, you know, because he did the drinking with the guys, you know. He might have not cheated on his wife, but he definitely, when they would go drinking, dumb guys go into bars where they patrol. If you're going to be a drinker, go somewhere you don't know, you know, nobody knows you.
Yeah.
But flirting with women just on the verge of, you know, crossing that line, right? But I know the Bible says, you know, not to give the appearance of evil, right? So if pastors that are married shouldn't be shacking up with church members because they've got a wife, right?
Yeah.
They're held to a higher standard. And I believe it's the same in you know, Leo and Fire, is we're held to a higher standard. You know, because you and I both know, I'm not going to name them, but we have a acquaintance, a mutual friend, who kind of walked away from the Lord because as a deputy, he saw stuff in the life of other Christians, right? And said, well, where's God in this?
Yeah.
You know? And what was, like, what did you fall back on to keep your walk in line with the Lord?
I believe for me, man, I had a fall back on the Lord, and I experienced some times of discipline by God. I'll be honest with you, man, because I mean it could be rough, and sometimes I could be a knucklehead. I'll be honest with you, man, but falling back and really seeking God, because I remember, man, there were times, because I got into a lot of uses of force out there, not because by choice, but it was just it was a situation I was in. Plus, I was working some real high crime areas, and you know, sometimes afterwards I would feel different, like, man, I just knock some dude out, or this and that. I pulled a gun on somebody, or, you know, got into a shooting. So it made me feel like I couldn't relate to church people. So I really had to fall back and seek the Lord in those areas, or I'd be dealing with some things that I saw. Like I remember working one night, it was back in 2013, and I remember I saw a triple homicide. It was on New Year's Eve, and I mean, that really bothered me because there was kids in there, and I was dealing with that, and I was like, man, I don't even know who to talk to about this. I didn't really know too many chaplains, or, you know, I knew pastors and all, but so I would ask, you know, some of my close friends, hey, just pray for me, this is what's going on. I feel like I'm reoccurring and seeing these images, you know, so I really need some help in that. So I had to really keep my walk close with the Lord in those areas and really cry out to Him and pray, man. Prayer is one of the things that got me through. Is seeking God in prayer. And I would always pray before, like I said, on my way to work. And, you know, trust the Lord, whatever He needed me to do, whether I would share with somebody out there His message or take down, you know, the manifestation of evil in the flesh. So, because to me, it's not just physical evil you're seeing, there's a spiritual side to it as well. And I saw that too. It's like, man, this is crazy. You can see the demonicness in people out there and Satan trying to rule and reign in those who, you know, want to commit crimes. And it was sad, man. It was sick at times. And I would try to come as a light bearer. You know, I remember even getting into a fight with this dude, and he was under the influence of PCP. And he had, man, I know this dude was demonically possessed, but he had broken into his ex, his estranged wife's house, and he held everybody hostage in there and stuff. I didn't even know that. So I get a call about 1 in the morning. So about 1 or 2 in the morning, and it was just a 415 disturbance call. It just said disturbance. So I call over there, and I'm like, hey, what's going on here? Is everything okay? And then the person who was the reporting party was like, hey, my daughter was over there. She just texted me. She said, I don't know what's going on. She just said send the police for help. So I'm like thinking, okay, this is probably just a little argument or something. So end up showing up over there at the house, going to her, I check it out. Remember, I get to the door, and the grandmother answers the door, and she was like, hey, I'm glad you're here. Praise God you are here. And I was like, okay, what's going on here? And then she's like, no, this guy's upstairs. He broke in. He's holding us all hostage. And man, you need to get up there, man. He's got my daughter, you know, locked in the room. And I'm like, she's throwing all this on me, and I'm like, for real? Are you serious? You know, I wasn't expecting to walk into that. And she's like, yeah. She's like, yeah, you need to get up there right now. So I'm like, okay, but I could sense the spirit saying, I mean, something's not right here. So, spirit of God. So I started immediately calling for backup. I still remember that. And walking over there, dispatch comes back to me, hey, are you code 4? You okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm okay for now, but please send backup. I don't know what's going on. So I remember I get up to the upstairs room, knock on the door, and the dude, and I'm like, hey, Sheriff's Department, open up the door. I can hear the dude behind the door saying, you know, man, what the F is going on, this and that. And he's like, you know, going crazy. And then he starts saying, who called the police? And I'm like, hey, dude, open up the door again. And he wouldn't open the door. And then I can hear him threatening the female behind the door that I'm gonna kill her. So I drew my gun. I kicked in the door. And I didn't know this dude was on PCB, but I told him to get on the ground. And then he starts to go on the ground. But as he do, I got to reholster in order to take him into custody. So second I do that, dude rushes me and he tries to take my gun. And I remember we ended up in a fight, you know, physically. And I took this dude down quick because, you know, I got a lot of combat training and, you know, Krav Maga and everything else. But this dude got a second win. And I know it was because of the PCP, but I didn't know he was under the influence at the time. But he attacked me again. He tried to come at me. But I know it was the spirit of the Lord that came upon me because I don't know where I got the strength from. I picked this guy up. And I threw him across the room. And this guy was a big dude. And I know that was supernatural strength that God, you know, endowed me with. So, and then I got on top of him. I must have hit that guy with, like, I don't even know, 15 elbows. The only reason I stopped was because he was snoring. I heard snoring. So afterwards, I was like, man, this is crazy. This was like life or death. This dude really tried to kill me right here. And I felt like the Lord came upon me, like with Samson. I'll be honest with you, man. The Spirit of the Lord descended upon me. And I tore this guy apart like a rag doll. So, and true story in that. So it's like, you not only see the physical manifestation of you, but you see the spiritual side as well. And I believe that dude was completely demonically possessed. And you see that a lot, especially people under the influence out there. So it's like you deal with this physical battle as well as the spiritual battle. And it's tough, man. So being prayed up and staying in prayer, man, and taking in the, you know, putting on the armor of God to fight, you know, because you're going to have to do it either physically or spiritually. And it can mentally drain on you as well as you're doing it. It can mentally wear you out, man. So it's like sometimes you need to step back and just take some time just to seek the Lord and all that. Get back in church and prayer. And especially getting involved like in a good ministry, like a first responders ministry or thin line believers. You know, that's something great for officers out there. Or even be able to talk about your experience. I know some people like to keep that inside and that eats them up after a while. You can only go so much before you break down, you know? So, but it's definitely a physical and spiritual battle.
Yeah. And I know Adam could speak more to that, but I think that's the desire and the direction that we're praying for thin line believers, you know, because, yeah. You know, it. People that have been in the badge, it's a small, such a small circle, you know, and that, like you said, when you went through something, dang, I don't have anybody within my circle of influence that I could talk to, you know, and not only, I mean, I don't know how people deal with crap if they're not believers.
Yeah.
And I think that's why they turn to the bottle, you know, drink. And, you know, a lot of guys that have been on injured, they like that Vicodin, you know.
Yeah.
They like that pain suppressant, you know. So, and that's where, you know, we want to, you know, I don't see anything wrong with, you know, first responder ministries and any church organization. I think they have a purpose locally. But at the same time, I wish, even when I was a chaplain back in California, I wish I would have done a better job of making myself available to, you know, these officers and firefighters that have gone through crap. They might not need to talk to you then, but it's like weeks or months down the line after the incident, like, you know, you're kind of going crazy.
Yeah. Right?
And I mean, you know, suicide is such a high rate now in uniform, you know,
yeah.
And, you know, like you said, like a lot of guys bottle it up, you know. I'm grateful for having connected with Adam, because I think talking things through, praying with each other, you know, quoting scripture is huge.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like, going through the book of Acts and teaching there at the church, you know, I have my own thoughts of like, I wonder what the conversations were like between the disciples. You know, because obviously Jesus pulled disciples that they wouldn't even naturally hang together with. But he pulled disciples together, and once they saw the Lord and who the Lord was, I wonder what their conversations were like. And, you know, we're told in Scripture to spur or sharpen each other unto good works. And, you know, all the cops, a lot of cops, I know, not everybody, they're like type A, go-getter, bro, you know, let's, you know, enter this, you know, wad with everything that we have. But then when it comes to taking care of ourselves spiritually and emotionally,
yeah,
it's like, nope, can't share my heart with you on that, you know. And I think it's important because, you know, like, your labor of fruit in being an FTO to that guy, he comes back to you years later, you were a genuine Christian. That's a testament of walking with the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where, you know, this podcast could be a testament maybe a month or a year from now. They'll listen to it and be like, hey, you know, I heard those three guys talking about just being steadfast and walking with the Lord, you know, praying. And because the reality is, we have so many officers that are struggling here.
Yeah.
Right? Especially with the political culture in many of these departments. You know, when you got whack job governors that are forcing the jab and ruining, you know, officers, the first responders' lives. Right?
Yeah.
And one, like you said, I don't know many deputies, cops, firefighters that will say, Lord, if you don't want me to be an officer anymore, take it away from me. Because why? A lot of people get into this career because, you know, pay is decent, action's pretty decent, but at the end of the day, sometimes these guys, they go in there and their identity is the badge and not yeah. Christ. Right?
Yeah.
And because you and I, you know, we've done ministry together back in California, and we've always, you know, served in some capacity, where I think a lot of, you know, first responders go in, right? They have the police fire tattoos, thin line shirts, you know, whatever it is. But yet you wouldn't know they're Christians because they hide it, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, praise God. I mean, thank you for sharing that story. That's, you know, that's huge, because a lot of cops will go into these situations. They just think it's normal. And they don't see the spiritual realm, right?
Yeah.
It's like, it's another dude that's drunk. He's on drugs.
Yeah.
But in reality, it's like, yeah, you know, I remember an incident I don't know if it was in Arleta. Anyways, it was with the LA City Fire. And, you know, I'm with a paramedic this day, you know, it was a four-man engine company and an ambulance. And LAPD calls us and say, hey, we got a 5150. You know, basically they wanted us to come and bring our drugs. And like you, soon as I got out of that engine, I got, you know, the medical bags and stuff, I just sensed an evil presence. Because when I walked up, there was two huge LAPD officers that couldn't keep this 5'8" guy down, like maybe 135 pounds. He was swinging them with his arms. And, you know, I was getting the medical stuff. The engineer accountant all jump out. They run, hold on the legs. The guys were flopping, you know. And as soon as I got there and I was like, hey, guys, we need to give him drugs to sedate him, but it might not work. And they're like, what? You know, the medic's off, gives it to him, nothing. He's still flopping around. And we're like trying to slap him and say, hey, what are you on? And he's like, oh, I'm on PCP and meth and all this stuff. And I was like, yeah. And then I was just like, okay, he's still being controlled by his spirit. And so, you know, the firefighters, my nickname was Preacher Man, you know, because they knew I was a ordained pastor. They're like, hey, is this one of those? I was like, yeah, it is. You know, so we were able to get him on a gurney. I mean, medically, the amount of sedation medication that the paramedic gave him would have killed the guy. But because he was possessed, you know, and even the officers were like, what the heck? And I was like, you know, we did a quick debrief and I was like, hey, just want to let you guys know. I don't want to be freaking you guys out, but as a pastor, this is, you know, the Bible says we war against, you know, flesh and blood, you know, and this is where, you know, this podcast, this purpose is for dialogue and conversation. Hey, talk to us.
Why didn't you send them into a bunch of pigs, dude?
There wasn't a pig around.
Whatever. You know? He was in uniform.
You know, I think that's one aspect a lot of officers don't see that are non-believers. They don't see the spiritual aspect of it. They don't see the satanic aspect of evil. And they just think it's like a physical battle, and it's not. It's for us believers. We don't wrestle or fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness. You know, spiritual host of wickedness in high places. And you can see that manifest itself out there. So it's definitely got to be prayed up. And I know the Lord protected me, man, especially me. Because I was in so many incidents out there, and I'm like, I think back now, because I'm retired, I'm like, man, how did I even survive some of this stuff? I don't get it. Because I was one of those hard charger guys, and I was a go-getter, but I know the Lord protected me. And I believe as long as you're doing and following, you know, the Lord, He'll protect you and all that. You know, if you're not going outside and doing things on your own, you know, bringing excessive force and all that other stuff, you mean the Lord's not going to protect you from that, but if you're doing your job, I feel like you can drop the hammer as hard as you want as long as you're doing it in God's will and doing it in His timing. And like I said, as long as you're in your, you know, department policy and the Lord protects you. Like for me, I had so many IA investigations over the years against me, but not a single one was ever sustained. And that's hard for any officer to ever say that over their period of a 16-year career. Always mine were unfounded, and I believe it was because I followed the Lord and I was doing His will. And I'm not going to say it was easy over time, because it's not, man. To follow God is not easy. The world's going to hate you. He says, you know, if you were of the world would love you, but you're not. You belong to me. And I can be honest, man, law enforcement is still of the world. It still is, man. So if you're going to walk with the Lord in that, I mean, you will be hated for His name's sake. Some people will come to you later, you know, ask for advice. Like, hey, I know you're a believer, but like I said, it's not a complete Christian organization. And if you're not prayed up, man, you're gonna get beat down mentally and physically and emotionally as well. So it's hard. And like I said, even myself, man, I'll just share this with you guys. I remember when I lateraled and to go to San Bernardino, I was working the jails for a bit, and then went on field training, young believer, and then my wife and I were having problems, and we separated for a bit. I'll be honest, we ended up separating for a bit, and the Lord had to really convict my heart about what I was doing, and I had to repent. And we came back together, and I was like, man, this is a testament of what God has done in my life. So, because it can affect your marriage. Man, law enforcement does affect your marriage. Shift work, what you see, if you're not handling it right, and, you know, not getting some counseling when you need to. I totally believe in counseling, especially if it's a Christian counselor that knows how to deal with trauma and deal with all that other stuff. So, like I said, you really need that help, and you really, what's the word I'm trying to say? Keep your marriage at focus, because you don't want to lose that. Because you can honestly come home and take it out on your spouse or your kids being angry. Just be honest with you. Yeah, I mean, I've done that before, and I've had to repent. You know, being upset about the job or upset about things that happened or things I saw or even promises made on the job about promotions that never happened. You know, people say, oh, I'm going to do this for you, never do it. And it's like, hey, man, you know, that can make you bitter after a while. So, but I know now I'm not of the world and I belong to Christ. And like even for me, man, when I retired medically, I was still trying to get medical help. So I was still having back was in a lot of pain. Everything was happening to me. I ended up having a spine fusion, but for 2.5 years, man, my department didn't help me, and it was really hard, and I was suffering. I got to the point where I couldn't walk anymore, and I was like, wow, man, I'm really messed up, and I was just crying out to God. But finally I was able to get the medical help I needed, and I kept praying, and I ended up getting my surgery. I'm strong as a beast now, back to training, martial arts, doing all that other stuff. But after a while, I felt like I lost my identity. And Mike hit it earlier. You feel like your identity is in law enforcement. And that's something that the Lord had to check me on later. Hey, your identity is not in law enforcement. Your identity is in Christ. It's not in a badge. It's in Christ Jesus. And I had to remember that. Because anything else, if you build that on law enforcement, it's like building it on sand. And when the winds come and the floods hit against that, something happens in that profession, or something goes awry, people start to, you know, scatter from you, it's going to collapse. And if you don't have Christ, man, you're going to fall apart. So even myself, I had to repent of that and, like, not put the badge as an idol in my heart before the Lord. And that's what the Lord really spoke to me. Hey, man, you're making that an idol. You don't belong to that badge. You know, that was just a profession. Now you belong to me, you know, always. So I had to keep that in mind as well. So that, and the Lord had to really break me down from that too. So it was a breaking process, but it was a good process because it told me not to put my faith in that stuff and build it on Christ the Rock, man, and not on sinking sand for a department. So I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's awesome because so many of the prophets, right, they talk about idolatry, and we don't get it. We don't get it because they talk about these man-made, you know, wooden idols. And I think we have a hard time relating that to what's going on in our own life, you know. Idolatry can be this stupid thing, right? It can be my phone. It can be, like you say, it can be a career. And, that, you know, that's why David said so many times, you know, search my heart, Lord, know if there's any wicked way in me. Because we don't always see what's right in front of us that's taking the place of God, you know. There was a pastor that I used to listen to quite a bit, John Corson, and he would say, where do you go when you're stressed? Is it the freezer to get out the ice cream? That's your idol. You know, is it you turn on the TV? There's your idol. You know, and then secondly, I want to say, you talked about counseling, and this is, I'm a firm believer in counseling, and I wasn't when I was a younger troop, because people don't talk about it, right? It's kind of like religion in law enforcement. People don't talk about it, so it's awkward, and it's stupid that it's awkward. But, you know, counseling. A buddy of mine who, very type A, I still look up to him to this day. I was on SWAT with him, and he's still doing that. And he was my team leader at the time, and so I still look up to him to this day. But he said to me one day, he said, you know, counseling is like maintenance, man. It's like your vehicle. You're not gonna, you know, drive your vehicle for, you know, 50,000 miles without going and getting it serviced, right? It's personal maintenance. You got to do some personal maintenance. And so, same thing, I'm not ashamed to say, you know, I found a Christian counselor, and I've had several sessions to deal with some stuff, and it's exactly right. It is maintenance, but so is this, you know, is what we're doing right now. It's, you know, three men of faith coming together with a at least somewhat common background and just vomiting on each other, you know. So
yeah, you're right, man. I really believe in counseling. I've had my sessions of counseling, man, and it really helps, especially seeing a good Christian counselor that understands biblically and spiritually what's going on, as well as the trauma that a law enforcement officer faces. So seeking that out and getting some sessions, because, man, you can end up with PTSD, man. I don't care who you are. I mean, especially in law enforcement, you can have that post-traumatic stress. And, you know, I had gone through that for a couple months at one point, and I was just like, man, things started bothering me, and everything started popping up from when I used to work, and I'm like, you know, I need to really pour into Christ during this time, but I also need to get some counseling, because it was hard, man. You start getting those invasive thoughts of what's happening. And, you know, I'll be honest, a lot of, you know, former law enforcement officers I've talked to that are older, they're like, yeah, I've experienced that too. So it's not uncommon, but like you said, a lot of people don't want to talk about it. You know, they feel like, hey, this is taboo, we shouldn't talk about this, but I encourage the counseling out there, because, man, it does lead to, you know, officer suicide, especially if you don't get that help. And suicide, man, it's such a temporary solution, man. You shouldn't use that solution for a temporary problem. It's a temporary problem. It's a permanent solution. Suicide is a permanent solution for a temporary problem that could be overcome in Christ.
Yeah, not only that, but it takes that problem that you're dealing with, and what it does is it puts it on your loved ones.
Yeah.
Right? It may be done for you once that act is committed, but what I think we fail to realize is that that's passed on to my friends, my family. Right. So now they have that burden for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, you're right, man. So
you said you...
I know, Sherman.
Sorry.
No,
I was just going to say, you worked dope. I did that for a few years. That was the best job I ever had, the funnest job anyway. But... you know, we talked earlier about accountability, and I think when you get out of that uniform and you get so much freedom like you do working dope, it's all the more important that you have a strong foundation of faith, because I have known a lot of guys, I won't say a lot of guys, I know of a lot of guys who have lost careers, who have had to deal with IAs and all this junk that we don't want to deal with, because, you know, they got out of that uniform, they got a lot of freedom, and they liked the taste of it, and it went too far. I mean,
yeah,
you see that a lot too.
Yeah, people going too far after they're out of the uniform.
Yeah, once they start working dope and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, you do see that, man. Like, the freedom that they have working that, you don't have a whole lot of accountability. You just got a couple teams. And I remember working that for a while. And man, dude, I'll be honest. Like I said, even going back to the spiritual side of that, man, when you're working dope, man, a lot of that, you know, we used to hit these houses, set up on stuff. Man, there would be a lot of, like, you go inside, man, there's statues set up to prayers, to, like, you know, I don't even know what it was. It would be like a mixture of Roman Catholicism and some, you know, Santa Maria.
Crazy. Santa Muerte, Jesus,
yeah,
Malverde,
Santa Muerte,
all that stuff,
Malverde, all this craziness, and people would actually be praying to these idols. Mm-hmm. So there was a dark side to that, man, a dark spiritual side to the narcotics. And I believe if you're not in prayer, man, as an officer, and if you don't know Christ, man, that could pull you in very easily, and you can easily become corrupted and take it too far, like you were saying earlier. And, you know, some people even start, you get an informant, and sometimes it could be a female informant. People start hooking up with the informant, and it goes too far from there. And I'm just being real. You know, I mean, that happens.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, and it gets crazy. So I used to always, and you do need informants out there, but you got to play it with wisdom and in Christ, you know, because there's, like I said, there's that spiritual aspect to it. People praying to demonic spirits to protect their dope or their cash. And I mean, it's wicked, man. It's crazy. And you would come upon people, man, that you wouldn't even suspect, you know, selling dope, even in nice neighborhoods, you know, having pounds and pounds of meth underneath the bed or something. I still remember that, man. It would be crazy, man. But staying up in prayer, man, that's one thing. And like you said, not taking it too far, man. And if you don't have that fear of God in you, if you don't keep yourself close to the Lord, then you are going to fall. I don't care who you are. You're going to become corrupted. If you don't have the fear of the Lord, if you're not walking in His Word or fellowshipping at your church or with the Lord or just keeping in prayer, man, you're going to fall. And like I said, I remember when I used to get off shift. Sometimes it'd be super late. But driving home from wherever I was at, whether I'd be working narcotics or even patrol or gangs that day, man, I would try to listen to some Bible teaching on the way home and just try to de-stress in that area. And sometimes, man, I used to have to, you know, come home and pray or, you know, from the things I used to see and deal with and just listen to like a Bible teaching. I'd put on like Chuck Smith or somebody just to relax, man, because, you know, you'd be amped up or your mind would be going crazy from what you saw. So that's how I used to have to deal with it and staying in prayer, man. And I know one other thing, too, I'm going to talk about it, but I know pornography is a big thing in law enforcement, man, and that can drag a lot of men down. So it's very hard in that. They need to stay away from that aspect. And it's not just with men in law enforcement. It's with the females in law enforcement as well. So, and that could become an idol because I still remember some dudes, man, when I was working, I just got onto this unit. It was a MET unit, multiple enforcement unit. And, man, these dudes were looking at some women on the computer. And I was like, they're like, hey, come over here, Sherman, check this out. I didn't know what they were talking about. So I went over there and then I looked and I'm like, dude, you serious? Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm like, aren't you guys all married? Oh, yeah, yeah, but this is cool. This is cool right here. And it was just some pornography. Man, so I walked away and I'm like, dude, I'm not with all that, man. I'm a married man. I'm a Christian. And then the dude, I still remember the dude turning to me saying, hey, man, you gay or something? And I'm like, gay? And I wasn't the most spiritual person at the time. I just said, hey, dude, you call me gay again, I'm going to punch you in the mouth. So I'll just be honest with you. I was like, man, where I come from, you don't call a person gay like that. But I said, second of all, I'm a Christian and I'm married, man. I love my wife. And you guys shouldn't be looking at that stuff. So I gave my heart to God when I was 19. So, and I, you know, earlier in my walk, I remember having some trouble with pornography because of things I seen when I was younger. But, you know, the Lord has completely healed me of those things. So I didn't want to get pulled back into that aspect. And I think a lot of officers, they get pulled into that aspect when they either go home or they're caught looking at it on their computer or stuff like that, man. And it's of the wicked one, man. And your mind starts playing with you on those things. But, you know, it's very, you got to keep yourself prayed up in that. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
Man, that's for another podcast.
Yeah.
You know, so, gosh. Two things on that. The guys that go to NARCS, I know in the small agency I went to, when one of them went to narcotics, I called them out on it as soon as I sensed them using drugs. You know? And he's a NARC guy. You know? And I told him, I'm like, hey, dude, I know you're using. So, oh, I'm like, no, you don't understand. I know you're using it. And he goes, how do you know? And I go, because the Lord told me. And he's one of those guys that called himself a Christian, but I don't know if he was. But I told him, I'm like, hey, you're going to get caught one day, whether it's by the narcs, the actual drug dealers, or, you know, by your superiors, you're going to get caught one day. So, you know, and I, unfortunately, I know a lot of good guys that have been taken down from doing stupid stuff like that.
Right? Yeah.
But, you know, when it comes to pornography, I'll be honest with you. And I've told this to my son, okay? The first time I was introduced to pornography, I was a kid.
Yeah.
8, 9 years old. You know, my friend's like, hey, let's go in my parents' room. Looks at the mattress. And I mean, like, penthouse, Playboy everywhere. I still cannot undo that image from being a child. You know, and then, you know, as I got older, I noticed the struggle is real.
Yeah.
you know, especially I think within the Christian confines in many ways, because you're supposed to live a holy life, wait till marriage, you know, so there's pornography, there's masturbation and all that, you know, on a physical health note. And I've known this when I became a personal trainer and got into nutrition, you know, the guys that get into masturbation, I was like, number one, it's gross. Okay. The Bible says don't spill your seed, right? But number two, it's actually unhealthy for you, because you actually ruin your future marriage by masturbation, because you're searing into your mind an act that you're doing downstairs that should be safe for marriage bed, right? But then the guys that are continuing pornography look, they are changing their actual chemistry in their mind.
Yeah.
And there's been proven studies that's been done. You know, because they still love their spouse or they love their girlfriend or whatever, but then so they're looking at pornography and getting satiated by a false imagery, because it's not reality. You know, we know as men of God who believe in the Bible, the marriage bed is created by God, right? To, you know, love on your spouse and vice versa. But when men get into pornography, I think you open up a psychological, spiritual, emotional gate that it's hard to close.
Yeah, it is.
You know, it's like a fire hydrant. Guys that don't know how to operate a fire hydrant, they open it super fast and not thinking, you got to allow the water pressure to build up, and it's just going crazy, right? And, you know, I've told a lot of people, I go, I still can't get rid of pornography images that I saw as a kid, you know? And then obviously when you get in uniform, you're in situations where, like, you see naked bodies for whatever reason, right? Women throw themselves at you.
Yeah.
And I think you touched upon it where you said, if you don't have the fear of God, you know, that holy reverence, you know, because what's pornography doing? You know, you're seeing a man and a woman, they're not married, and they're doing an act, and you're allowing it to go through your eye gate to affect your mind, which affects your relationships, right? And it's so simple. If God wanted pornography to be a blessing, I think he would have said it in the Bible.
Yeah.
You know? But it's not. And it's sad because it's ruined careers, right? It's ruined your lives. Like, here's a weird study that I read. And I think Boss Rutten said it once. You know, the MMA guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He said that when one of his students was getting ready for a mixed martial arts fight, he would make sure that that guy does not even have sex with his wife a week prior. And there's been studies done with your testosterone levels. And he said the guys that have had sex like 1 or 2 days before all lost their fights. And it's like a weird, you know, weird study. But am I thinking, if you could lose a physical battle, how easy it is to lose a spiritual battle?
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, the guys that are like, you know, I remember a LA City firefighter. I think it's, what was his name? I better not say his name. But I hear a doorbell, you know, I woke up and I was like, hi. It was the girl that we had visited for a motor vehicle accident who we treated. She's there. I'm like, hi, how can I help you? She's like, is firefighter so-and-so there? I was like, oh? And I'm like, I know he's married. And so, but I found that he's got a bunch of Sanchez, like side gigs, you know, and he's like, well, you know, it's kind of like an accepted culture in our, I was like, no, bro, no, I don't care what culture you're in. The Bible says, no, But he did this for so long and with so many different women that he was no longer satisfied with his wife. Right? Comes to me for counseling. He's like, hey, what do I do? I was like, bro. The Bible says you sow this and you're going to reap this. This is your reaping. You're going to pay for it. So I think there's that danger. The guys that, you know, are looking at porn. It's a sin. You repent, God forgives you. But the problem is you can't undo those images in your mind. Right? I think that's the difficulty that a lot of times, you know, guys that, you know, do drugs and do alcohol, they don't realize that it's changing your chemical in your brain, and next thing you know, you're addicted, right?
Yeah.
And you're screwed, you know? And so, kind of bridging that, I know I wanted to ask you this before we go on. How important is physical fitness to you as someone that's a man of God and also that's been in uniform? Because I know that's something that you've fallen back on for personal discipline and personal training.
Yeah. As far as physical fitness for me, I think it's a great thing. I think taking care of your body, you know, has to be a priority so that you're able to, you know, do things for the kingdom of God. Man, I know the older I get, man, I'm in my 40s now, so I'm like, man, it gets hard, but to maintain that
discipline. Well, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Maintaining that discipline, especially for an officer, man, because you see so many officers with, you know, not taking care of themselves or out of shape. It all depends on what unit they're in, like SWAT or gangs. You're probably going to be hitting the weights a lot and doing all that. But as far as regular patrol, you see a lot of people not taking care of themselves, and it leads to health problems later. And it's very hard in an officer's career to make 20 to 30 years. Now, I'll be honest with you. To try to retire after 20 or 30 years is very difficult, especially if you're not physically taking care of yourself. Even if you are physically taking care of yourself, you can still get hurt, man, and at any given moment. But even bouncing back from that injury, if you have a disciplined mind of coming back and, you know, even doing the therapy or whatever, trying to get back to where you need to be, you'll be better off. But I really 100% believe in taking care of your body, you know, as a temple of God, not putting it on a pedestal like, hey, this needs to be number one. But, you know, because, you know, physical exercise, I mean, it does profit, but it doesn't profit that much spiritually. But you got to take care of yourself in order for you to be used by God later. And I'm not saying that the Lord can't use you if you have some physical ailments. I mean, I got physical ailments, but I completely believe in taking care of yourself physically as a law enforcement officer. And even after you retire, like I said, because to make that 20 or 30 year career retirement, man, it's very, very difficult. And you don't see a lot of officers making that. Most get injured before they get to that point. So taking care of your body and having some type of quality of life afterwards is better for you. So I believe in that. Definitely proponent of, you know, exercise and nutrition. And don't get me wrong, man, I love a good cinnamon roll every now and then.
Hey, that's why I work out. It's like I can eat donuts. You know? But having said that, though, I want to give Adam an opportunity to share a little bit about Virtue Sports. I hate the workouts, by the way. I have yet to do a full workout, I think, on its own, in a sense. I have had to scale something. I'll let, you know, so that Sherman kind of knows a little bit the opportunity that we have with Inline Believers. I know, Adam, you have a good friend that's... left Oregon and is now in Texas.
Yeah. So he, a little background on him. He and I became friends because he was on SWAT when I joined. And so, of course, he was the guy that was yelling at me to, you know, to get the, you know, get the targets posted. We want to shoot. We're here to shoot. Stop. You know, you better not be walking, blah, 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 blah. And so, anyway, you know, I like somebody that pushes me. So he and I became good friends. And he was also the owner of the biggest CrossFit gym in Oregon at the time. So, or actually soon thereafter. And so he's educated when it comes to physical fitness, nutrition, and that kind of thing. He also lived it out. He was a college athlete, and his wife is just as educated, if not more, when it comes to these types of things. And she was also a college athlete. And so they're both extremely qualified. And so he left Oregon amongst all this, the baloney going on, and he went down to Texas, where apparently God still is. And at least that's what I'm told. So he wants to...
Just not Austin.
Just not Austin. Yeah, so he... He's got a heart to serve, and so he decided to come up with this online programming, and it's completely free of charge for anybody, really, but it's designed for first responders. And you know, the other day I did one of his workouts, and I put on Instagram that, you know, two of the things that I noticed about this is, number one, it's free, and I've paid for workout programs before that they just weren't for me, and I decided, well, why would I pay for something that I could program myself? And that's the second thing about his, is that I couldn't program it myself, or more accurately, I wouldn't program, you know, the way he programs. And it's very specific in that it's designed for somebody who is wearing a bunch of gear, right? And so every day, he calls it body arming. Every day, it includes a core workout, which I did that once a week if I felt like it. And it's something I didn't really give a whole lot of thought to, but it's extremely important. And so usually his workouts consist of, you know, a strength workout, which doesn't include bench press, at least not so far, because that's not a movement that, you know, first responders are doing very often. And so anyway, it consists of a complex, you know, strength work, and then high-intensity interval training, and then it finishes off with some core work, which is great. And he tries to keep it under an hour to include his warm-up that he programs into it, too. But it's virtuesportsperformance.com, and so we've partnered with him, and that's why Mike wanted to have this opportunity to for the plug, I guess. But anyway.
Well, the reason I bring up health, too, is, Sherman, you mentioned it, is if you're not in a specialized unit, you're not taking care of your body. You know, obviously you like to be physically active, but I mean, we've all seen coworkers that wear the same uniform. You're just like, how do you get that duty belt around you? Right?
A lot of keepers, man.
But now that there's
a lot
that,
of keepers.
Right? A lot of keepers. But not only that, but now that there's an outer vest carrier, it's like, sweet. I could just loosen up the Velcro and, you know. And I'm like, the bigger you are, the bigger the target you are for the enemy.
Yeah.
Right? Unless, you know, you're like, you know, Brock Lesnar and you can move, you know, for a big D. But I bring up health because I know the scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Right? Which encompasses a lot of stuff, right? Well, if I watch pornography, is it going to please God? No. Right? But I think a lot of times we take for granted the bodies that God's given to us and not using it for His purpose and for His glory. You know, I was involved in a couple of incidents where like, I could have died, which would have been okay. You know, I could have gone to heaven, but the fact that because on my off-duty hours, I took care of my body, you know? Like, if I was still in Southern California, I'd probably go to San Dimas, Glendora, and go get the donut, man. That is sinfully good, you know? But then again, law enforcement ought to portray those that are fit for duty. Right?
Yeah.
Like taking a page out of the CrossFit circle. They're fit for anything, if you think about it. Now, I don't have hours and hours of training that they do, but that's the culture and that's the lifestyle they live. But you know who's a CrossFitter because why? They're wearing, you know, Reebok CrossFit or Rogue.
And they're talking about CrossFit. Know.
And they're talking about CrossFit. They live and breathe CrossFit, right? Like cops. Cops that only live and breathe copying. Or firefighters, that's all they do. But where it's sad. It's like, I'm sure you and I both know many guys that have retired, and right after retirement, they die.
Yeah.
You know, partly due to the fact that, you know, they didn't take care of their health. You know, I know in the fire, police, military industry, the reason that the guys don't want to retire, because I think they know if they do retire, they're going to die. Because they're looking for that excitable adrenaline, you know, when that radio call comes out, right? Shots fired. Yeah. You're like, you're either going to do one or two things as it comes. You're like, cool, I'm going. Balls to walls, I'm going to that call. I'm going to be a hero or whatever, right? Firefighters that get the ton, cool, suit up. Got a luma, going to go do a fire. But then once you don't have that, and if you don't have fitness to fall back on, I think that's where the danger lies. With, you know, the guys that are like, I'm going to retire, I'm not going to do anything. And just like, yeah. You better still keep training, you know?
Yeah, and I think fitness is important for mental health as well, so that you stay physically active and you know, you keep your mind going. You know, you don't want to retire, because I know it's expected within 5 years of retirement for law enforcement or military that you're going to die within those 5-year period. So, I mean, I totally believe in physical fitness and taking care of yourself, especially you get those endorphins moving and taking care of everything, you know what I mean?
And staying well hydrated. You know,
yeah, staying hydrated, man. And then
like a dog that's drinking water right now.
Oh, sorry, boy. That's my shepherd, man. That's my German shepherd.
Nice.
Yeah.
Sorry,
boy. Well, hey. Oh, no, don't apologize. Adam's got the whole farm. God told, you know, Noah's Ark. And his...
Man, I got a shepherd laying right here, man. We're good. Yeah.
Shepherds, chickens, yeah. Alpacas.
Longhorn. Come on.
Yeah.
And also, I think, too, man, is having some purpose after you retire. Whether you unexpectedly get medically retired or you go into retirement, having a purpose in God. What's the next? I always look at it as, what's the next mission from the Lord? What does he want me to do? Whether it's taking care of my family, or does he have some ministry work for me to do, or whatever my purpose is. You want to have a purpose in Christ, man. So, because I know it could be really hard. I know for me it was really difficult when I suddenly was forced into medical retirement, and it wasn't by choice. So it really hurt, too, and I felt really hurt by the department. And I'll be honest, there was times where I even cried. And I'm a tough dude, man, you know, training and all that other stuff. But I cried because I felt like, man, they kind of abandoned me and just put me out to dry. And I felt like, well, what's my purpose now? And again, it goes back to that idol in the heart, you know, about the badge. It's like, you can't put that in your heart. It has to be Christ. And I know recently, even too, it was an academy classmate of mine. He had killed himself not too long ago. He gotten medically retired from the department. He felt like the department didn't back him, didn't take care of him. And he was trying to get back on. He had back issues. And he just felt like he basically got screwed over. And he was real angry, trying to, you know, get a business going on his own. And I know he was angry, but he ended up killing himself after a while. He got into an argument with his wife, and he shot and killed himself. So I was like, wow. Because I know being medically retired and feeling now all of a sudden like you've lost that, you know, sense of family, as they quote-unquote call it, it makes a lot of people angry. It seems like once you're done and you're not there, that all of a sudden now they don't talk to you anymore. And you're just like a number. You're just a number in the sense. So mentally having, you know, being able to work out and take care of yourself or getting involved in something and having a purpose in life of what God's called you to do, you know, what the Lord wants you to do next. Because, man, that can weigh on you a big time, like I said, man, not having that purpose. So.
No, I think that's, you know, you share something very valuable and important, you know, is, you know, we talked about a lot of stuff, you know, our identity in Christ, you know, fitness, all that. And this, I love what Pastor Chuck Smith used to say, don't fall into things you don't understand, fall into things that you do.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, your sins are forgiven, you're going to heaven, you know, until then, you still have a purpose and a calling from God to do what you need to do. You know, I have a next door neighbor who's a retired Phoenix cop. And he's also just recently, I think, retired from the Army National Guard. You know, he's just, I think, at 50 or a little over 50. He's got 5 kids, 10, 8, 6, 4, and 2. You know,
like clockwork.
And I'm like, oh man, I'm like, I joked with him. I was like, I know the Bible says be blessed and multiply, but bro, he's like, I know I'm not any younger, and that's why I'm like, I had to pump him out. But now that he's retired, I could, you know, just recently I spoke with him. I can see his aura. He's not, I don't know if he's a believer or not, but his demeanor has changed because his identity as a cop and as a military guy is no more. He's a stay-at-home dad. You know, and I've encouraged him. I told him, I go, I had a season where I took care of my kids full-time. And I had that, you know, the psychobabble that, you know, talking to myself is like, well, you're not a man anymore. Look at you.
Yeah.
You know, you're like Adam Sandler, like staying home and not knowing what to do with the kids. But then I drew back to my memory and I thought my dad and my mom, a lot of times weren't around because they're trying to put food on the table and they didn't come to any of my games, you know? And so, I mean, thank God it was totally the Lord where, you know, I adopted, you know, Pastor Chuck Smith as a young guy, as my spiritual father figure, you know. You know, I look to, you know, John Corson for, you know, that shepherd's heart and all that stuff. And I was telling my buddy, my next door neighbor, I was like, hey, look, God's called you to this season to be a father figure in your kids, because there's a lot of kids today that doesn't have the father figure, you know, and to be a man. And he's like, you know, we got to talk, and he's like, you're right. Because I told him, I go, anytime your kids drive you crazy, you just come on over, and we'll drink coffee, and we'll talk story, you know. We'll do cop talk, fire talk, military talk, health talk, whatever you want, you know. And he's taken my invitations openly, you know. And I said, you give me a text, heads up, and say, hey, can I come over for a minute? He'll say, come on over, you know. And that's where I think, you know, Sherman, you said you have that to fall back on.
Yeah.
You know, your training, in a sense, your health training still continues, you know. It's like a lifelong certification, you know, a continuing education credits, right? You just got to keep that going, because why? Our spouses depend on us to be healthy. Our kids depend on us to be, right? You know, we have that saying, I got your six, right?
Yeah.
I was listening to a podcast, and I forgot who it was. I don't know if it's the Empire podcast with Bedros Koulian or not, but he had a guest on, and he says, I want you guys that are listening to open up your phone. If I look at your calendar, how many of you guys have your family scheduled into your calendar? And if you do, how much of that family time do you have it scheduled? And I was like, wow, that's a pretty big conviction, because I'm like, I schedule events, but like, I don't have it on my calendar. Spend 2 hours with my son on it. So, you know. But he was saying, when we become, you know, adults, we schedule court dates. We schedule, you know, this and this and that. But yet when it comes to family, what are you doing to schedule yourself? You know? And so, like today, I have to take my daughter to gymnastics. And I'm notorious to listen to podcasts and audiobooks. And I told myself, I'm going to put music on, and I'm just going to talk to my daughter. Because I realize I only have a handful of years with her before something happens, and I might go to jail because of my daughter. Because boys are hitting on her, you know.
Yeah.
And I realize I have to take advantage of those opportunities when they're not sleeping in the car, you know, to talk to them, you know. Like, remember those days when, you know, when we're going through our rookie year and you're like all amped up and stressed because am I, my boots shine and do I have the codes memorized and all that. And then once your FTO realizes you're going to succeed, they kind of lower their guard a little bit, and they're talking shop. You know, they're opening up. And it's, it, you know, I always call it the, you know, Nicodemus, Nick at night moment, you know. Because I didn't go into my law enforcement career as a young age. I went into it older, so all my FTOs were all younger than me. But what I did have was I have a lot of life experience, you know, from when I was a firefighter and a police chaplain. And but I played the game, you know. Here I am calling a younger guy that's 15 years younger than me, 20 years younger than me, sir, yes, sir, you know. And I did it, you know. I remember my dad always said, hey, in law enforcement, fire, military, hey, play the game. Just play the game. You know, because eventually you're going to have an influence on them. You know, John Maxwell says, you know, influence is leadership. And so if we as strong believing Christians in uniform can influence, that's leadership. Right? Because, I mean, there's a lot of crap in this world that we're dealing with, you know. What's going on in Russia and Ukraine, I would love to talk about that. But also, you know, I mean, what's going on in our culture, in our world. We have a lot to worry about. And, like, I feel for cops that are in uniform, you know, like cops in Australia and cops right now in Canada, you know, having to make that struggle, that decision, you know, to be a righteous cop, to be one of stand-up authority, you know, like Sherman. What was that scripture? Is it 2 Samuel?
Yeah, 2 Samuel 23.
23, verse
3? Yeah, verse 3.
You know, you're exercising power or authority over someone's life. And, you know, we all know cops that have ruined people's lives because pride entered their heart and they're, you know, exercising authority over them. You know, I mean, just look at our politicians today. You know,
yeah.
How much is gas right now in California?
Man, it's like over $4.50. It's ridiculous. Man. It's ridiculous. Yeah,
how much is gas in Oregon?
About $4.
Yeah. I'm at $3.35.
Yeah, I wish, man.
Yeah. You know, and but you know, we have. I think in our circle as believers, you know, obviously we can't change politicians. And I mean, God can, but there's that notion of one person that we can minister to, that person can change the world, right? Billy Sunday, who was a professional baseball player, accepted the Lord, became a preacher, right? And Billy Graham was influenced by Billy Sunday. And Billy Graham was one who changed the world, right? And so we know, as believers, we have a lot of, you know, discretion and exercise to influence for people for better. And that's where, you know, I think your work as a believer in uniform at San Bernardino County Sheriff's was huge. You know, even if it's just that one guy that told you, hey, you are a stand-up Christian as an FTO. And he might be someone that's going to make a huge impact, you know, in that department, you know, for the better. Because we all know when you climb up the corporate ladder, and I can't stand, you know, commanders, sergeants, lieutenants, chiefs that forget their, you know, you know, like the Bible says, do not despise the days of small things.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure all three of us, we could talk about toxic leadership in uniform another time. But I think, but those of us that are strong believers that love the Lord, you know, we can influence, it might not be the whole organization, but maybe an individual to be stand and upright, you know, because... Yeah. As you know, out of the three of us, Adam's, you know, still in uniform. You know, a seasoned trooper, you know.
Salty.
Hey, salty is good. Remember, our speech is supposed to be seasoned with salt, yeah. Right? But, you know, it's just like I was sharing, with the church yesterday. I was like, hey, you know, like I invited the kids to be part of the worship service instead of them going directly to the children's ministry, because I want the kids to see their parents worshiping. You know, our kids watch what we do, not, they don't listen. You know, and I think a lot of officers forget, like, your habits influences that rookie. How you write a report, how you do, you know, your thing on the MDT or whatever, how you drive, you know, it's going to affect, you know. And I think we need to be, in a sense, Christians that are better FTOs, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree with you, man, 100%. I remember, like I said, man, I used to, some of my officers that I've trained, they used to ask me, well, how do you get all these arrests? How do you make it look so easy? And I was like, you know, first, like I told them, God has blessed me. And I've always asked the Lord for wisdom on how here on the job and to lead me and guide me where he needs me to be. And plus, I would see, you know, things after a while. You're trained up. You recognize things. But I said, number one, if you keep God first and you keep the Lord first, he will bless you on the job. He will lead you to that arrest, and you will get good stats. But it's about keeping him first. I used to always tell him that, and keeping God first, having that fear of God that when you rule over other people. And you're right, man. I think that's lost in higher leadership once they get up there, and they forget about that. And if you don't have a relationship in Christ, man, you're going to become corrupted, especially the higher you go. And you're going to, you know, bow to pressure or political pressure or whatever floats for you, whatever is beneficial for you. And it's a sad thing. And I always think, as a believer, the world is going to test us. There's going to come a point in our career where the world is going to ask us to choose whether between Christ or the world. It's going to come that point in our career as law enforcement officers that you have to take that stand for the Lord, because the world does come asking. It wants to test out your faith. It wants to see where you're at. Are you truly a believer, or are you just one who just says that you're a believer? So you're going to come to that point in your life where you are going to be tested, where the world is going to ask you to make a choice between Christ or the world. And to me, it's always better to follow the Lord, even if you lose a position or even if you lose your job. I believe the Lord will always provide, and it'll be a better way. You may not like it, it may not be comfortable, but we also have to partake of the sufferings of Christ, just as he was rejected as well. But taking that stand and against the world and living for the Lord is more important, I believe. So I hope that makes sense for me.
Yeah, I think that's a good spot to end.
Agreed.
Anything else, Adam?
I got nothing to add to that.
Well, hey, I know those of you that are listening online are going to watch later. ThinLineBelievers.com. And if you're one of those that are struggling in your walks with the Lord and you just need someone to talk to, we're here for you. You know, Adam's up 24/7. You know, I'm available 24/7, I guess.
Yeah.
And if need be, you want to talk to Sherman, get in contact with us.
Yeah.
And I know Sherman has a heart of a pastor, actually, you know, to minister to people. So you're not alone. You know, don't do this thing called life in uniform alone. You know, there's too many that are taking their lives, you know, and putting the burden on their families. That's in, you know, that's wrong. And so, you know, find us at thinlinebelievers.com. We're on Instagram, also on Facebook. Do we have TikTok?
No.
Did you ever set up
TikTok? Send all our stuff to China?
No.
I'm just asking. Yeah. Any last thoughts you want to share with us, Sherman?
No, stay strong in Christ, man. I appreciate you guys having me on, and stay prayed up. And remember that scripture, man. He who rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. Have that in your heart always, man. Have that in your heart. So, but thank you for having me on. I appreciate that.
I think we need to make a shirt with that verse somehow.
There you go.
You want to pray us out?
Yeah, let's do it.
Father in heaven, thank you for this opportunity to come together with a brother and to talk about you. There's no better subject. Lord, thank you for his insight and his wisdom that you've given him. None of this comes from our own doing. It all comes from you, and so we give you the glory for this conversation that we had today. And we pray that it touches the listener in such a way that it draws them near to you. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Cool. All right, folks, check out the website, send us an email, whatever. Just, get into contact with us. See ya.